All right, continuing along in our Psalms of Ascent, the gift of the word today is from Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I've titled the sermon this morning, Working with God in Mind. And you might react and say, Andy, why are you making me think about work today? This is the weekend. I can do that the other days of the week. But a lot of times we have to think about our work and how we ought to work with God in mind. Today, people in their work habits, it's usually you fall on a scale. There's people who, as verse 2 might say, rising up early, going to bed really late, eating the bread of anxious toil. You might call that workaholism. Always thinking about work, always working, overworking, really stressed about work. I'm sure every one of us at some point in our lives has been there, done that. We know what that is like. Workaholism. On the other end of the scale, there's another word that the Bible uses a lot in the wisdom Psalms, it's called a sluggard, kind of a slug, like a sluggish person, a sluggard, someone who is lazy or who does not work or just eats off of other people. Wherever you find yourself, we are even to submit our work to God. This psalm, it falls in the Song of Ascents, so we remember that just as we've been thinking about, these are songs sung by people ascending to worship. And I haven't focused on this aspect as much, but it's really like a figurative ascent. And even in our lives as followers of Jesus, in our lives as disciples, we talk about maturity as growing closer to God. And so even in our journey as pilgrims, as people ascending to God, in our lives as Christians, in our discipleship, we are maturing. And one of those things that we can mature and bring under God's control is even our work. How do we think about work? Again, I quote Eugene Peterson, and God bless him, he did pass away this week. So in his great work, which he's well known for, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, reflecting on these Psalms, he equates workaholism. He references the story in the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel. Man and nations coming together, out doing without God, saying, we don't need God. Let us build ourselves a city. Let us build ourselves a tower up into the heavens. We can do this ourselves. Babel, and it kind of represents a humanistic ideology that we can do just fine without God. We can do it ourselves. You might know how that story ends. God scatters. God puts in new languages. He says, actually, that's not how it's going to be. Babel, representing workaholism, representing us working on our own strength outside of God. And then on the other hand, you've got the sluggard or the lazy person. And here, Eugene Peterson references the Buddhists, or like Buddhism. If you think about Buddhism, Buddhists are always working away from mindfulness, working away from work. They're trying to find that point of nirvana where there's like no thoughts and no interaction and no feelings, where you could be totally content in yourself. Kind of like all you have to do is just spend a day meditating and being quiet, not doing anything. Realizing that human beings don't need to work or don't need anything. And I obviously don't know what I'm talking about, but that's my little summary understanding. So whether it's nirvana that you're looking for or nervous endings of work habits, God calls us to submit our work to Him. So working with God in mind, working with God in mind, as this first verse says, which says it plainly, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders do it all in vain. I meant to mention, this is of Solomon. It says it right there. This is the first of these Psalms of Ascent, not written by David or some random pilgrim, but this one's attributed to Solomon. What else did Solomon write? He wrote the Proverbs. He is the one who, if you remember, asked God for, God said, if I could give you one thing, what would you ask for? Solomon says, I want to be the wisest king. I want to be the wisest. God gives him a gift of wisdom. Whether he ends up living a very wise life, that's up to you to be the judge of. But King Solomon, the wisest person on earth, who wrote the Proverbs, who wrote these sayings of wisdom, who wrote a lot of the wisdom literature in the Bible, including this psalm, which kind of almost feels like a proverb, kind of feels proverbial. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders work in vain. Unless the watchman watches over the city, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman, it's all done in vain. Sounds like Ecclesiastes, right? Another piece of wisdom literature, whether Solomon wrote that or not. The preacher reflects on life and he just says, it's all vain. All is vain. All is vanity. What's the point? Ecclesiastes can be kind of summarized. It kind of builds up to the very last part of the book where it says, all is vain, all is vain, all is vanity. And then the wisdom writer says, the end of the matter is this, in the context of all is vanity. The end of the matter is this, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. When it comes to the wisdom writers reflecting on the vanity of life, the vanity of building apart from God, the vanity of watching or keeping apart from God, the end of the matter is this, fear God and keep His commandments. And fear God, not like be afraid of Him or cower back in a corner. But God is our good Father, who we're proud of, who gives us strength to go around and boldly proclaim His majesty, to fear God, to know that He is worthy, to trust in Him. So, with that in mind, we read this psalm, thinking about our own lives. Where do you fall on that scale of work? Are you a workaholic or are you a sluggard? Is it even about coming in the middle of that, or is that just a whole category that we are supposed to be lifted out of? As Christians, we are people who work with God in mind. Solomon writes, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Builders work in vain apart from the Lord. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The idea of keeping or securing something, it's all done in vain apart from the Lord. And then, not to just think of those illustrations, but you. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Whatever work we find ourselves doing, apart from God, it's all done in vain. And there's a promise there. He loves to give His beloved sleep. Part of recognizing the vanity of it all is remembering the deeper truth that God is in charge, God is in control, we are dependent on Him. If you remember from a few psalms ago in the Songs of Ascent, Psalm 121, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? We're remembering that we are dependent on God. And it says, behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. We reflected on that really amazing truth that God never sleeps. So we can sleep. We can rest assured because God is always awake, always working, always taking control, always making things work. He loves to give his beloved sleep. God never sleeps, and he loves to give his beloved sleep. So whether you're building a house, whether you're watching something or keeping something, maintaining something, whether it's your own work, and then specifically he gives another example, which might be a commentary on the wisdom writer's understanding of a healthy society, but even building a family. Behold, children, a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. But having children and making a family, even that is something that it's something that we do, but it's only God that can deliver that. As verse 1 and 2 say, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. That doesn't negate our need to build. It doesn't negate our need to watch. It doesn't negate our part in procreation and filling God's good earth. We have a part, but unless it's done apart from God, it's all done in vain. So behind this text is the amazing promise that we are dependent on God, and that indeed, in God, he will build, and he will keep, and he will fill his earth. It's an invitation to Sabbath rest, as we talk about. Again, you might be thinking, why are you making me think about work on Sunday? Isn't this the Sabbath day? In the Sabbath day, we remember the promise coming that God worked and he took rest. And so, therefore, we, in his image, can work and can rest. We remember that work was not only something that came after the brokenness of the world. Work existed in the garden before the sin of man. Working is part of what it means to be human. Doing work with God is part of what it means to be fully alive. But then God gives us rest. He gives us a space and a time to be filled up. He loves to give us sleep. He loves to give us carelessness, if you will, a carefree heart. He loves to relieve our anxieties and our fears. Wherever you're at, if you're a workaholic or a sluggard, wherever you're at, if you're anxiously awake at night thinking about the things you have to do or how is this going to be resolved, God loves to give you sleep. Trust in him. Remember that you are dependent on him. Remember that everything you do in regards to work, in regards to your family and your relationships, it's all done with God in mind. Let us work with God in mind. Let us fear and trust in the Lord, because that, as the wisdom writers conclude, is the end of the matter. He loves to bless his children. We are blessed in it, he says. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with children. He loves to give his beloved sleep. When we work with God in mind, there's a blessedness about it. And certainly we return to our friend and our Savior Jesus, who he did his own set of work, right? He came to this earth and he was doing miracles and he was bringing the kingdom where he was. He even healed a person on the day that you don't do any work. He healed a person on the Sabbath day. And the religious rulers and the law people, they were infuriated. Who is this guy? What does he think he's doing? Healing on the Sabbath day. And they confront him about it, and Jesus says something very peculiar. He says, well, my Father is working, and so I am working. And that drove them nuts. And it's this equating himself with God. Jesus understanding his own deity. Jesus understanding God's nature of working and restoring and bringing justice to the earth and to his people. And it's in the name of Jesus that we can work. And it's in the name of Jesus that we can take our true Sabbath rest, which is, sure, it's taking some time off of our own work and being filled up by God, but it's also giving ourselves to God's work, being proclaimers of justice, being hands and feet for those in need. It's in that Sabbath rest that we can work along with God. And surely Jesus even worked in different ways. He healed. He spoke with people. He talked with people and helped them discern where they were finding their life and their joy. And even Jesus worked in a physical way that led him to a cross. And we remember again the cross of our Lord Jesus. And that was some sort of work. That was some sort of work. Jesus gave his life for us. And all that was done not in vain, but he was working with God in mind. And he produced salvation for those who believe. Through Jesus, we can work with God in mind. We can remember his grace and his mercy to us. We can remember how through the Lord and his working, we are empowered and strengthened, how we have a great deal of work around us as Jesus thinks about the harvest and the needs that are around. And he invites us to enter into that work with him. Thankfully, he does give us his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit. He is with us, and he loves to give us sleep and rest along the journey. So, take heart. Unless the Lord does the work, the workers work in vain. Amen.